Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and this is A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest, I'm really excited to have him here. He's an executive producer, storyteller, content creator. And I would almost say a voice for the industry lately. He has, you know, his main goal, objective is to craft compelling narratives and engaging content. He's been the producer for Amazing Race, American Idol, Big Brother, and Ultimate Survivor. He's been a supervising producer at Warner Brothers Discovery, at Roku. He steered the adventure competition series Fight to Survive to Success, managing both creative and logistical elements. And his mission is to create content that resonates and sustains audience engagement. Welcome to the show, Patrick Caligiuri.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being. I know, I try. I'm like, audience applause. Welcome. No, Patrick, I'm going to start like off the cuff right away. Like the way you have been, and like you just said, a voice for the industry. A lot of people are saying that to you, and not to put pressure on you.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah.
But you have just been this voice that I think a lot of people have needed, right? Strikes, all that, all the good stuff, right? COVID, all of that.
I appreciate that. I just am also a person that's in it as well. And I think that's one of the reasons that has resonated with a lot of the community is I'm just as much in the trenches. Mm-hmm. So I just started speaking, you know, the way I saw the industry changing. And fortunately, that caught on with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know that a creative industry, which has always been kind of cutthroat, always competitive, is finally kind of coming together because we all kind of realize we're all creatives and we're all in this mess. Mm-hmm. And what is the next thing? What are we trying to achieve? Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to have somebody that's just like, I'm just going to talk about it and I'm just going to talk about my perspective. But somehow that has just resonated. It's a testament to what you're talking about because it's really resonated with a ton of folks. Right. So it's just. And I saw that you just shared LA Magazine. You did an article
did
for
a
Los Angeles Magazine.
Yes.
Where, you know, it talks about streaming giants and tech companies transformed Hollywood's creative landscape. Mm-hmm. So has it really been them that have transformed it? Or has it kind of been part of the community that's like, you know what? We're kind of sick of what we're seeing and we're going to take matters into our own hands.
It's a little bit of both. But you have to remember that a technological change has always happened in Hollywood. It just hasn't happened during our lifetime. So these elements of technology from when silent films went to talking films, when the radio era went to television, and basically the last time we saw a big transformation was when cable came up in the early 80s. And I was kind of a tyke back then.
Yeah.
So for 40 years, really nothing has happened. And all of a sudden, we're now going from television to internet. So there is a seismic shift that's happening, but no one was really prepared for it. No one was ready for it. We kind of saw it coming down the road, but I don't think we expected it just to come to a full stop. We all knew, like, oh, broadcast will eventually die out, or cable eventually died. It just died one day. I had a heart attack or stroke. It just and collapsed on the street. And all of a sudden, we go, oh, shit, we're all out of a job.
Right.
So I think a lot of what's happening is the creative industry is now having this kind of come to Jesus where they're looking at themselves and they're saying, okay, well, we've been creatively helping these corporations for a long time. We're not getting a cut of our pie anymore. We're doing all the work. We're doing all the storytelling. And we're also not being allowed to tell the stories we want to tell. We're being told that we have to make another superhero movie or we have to do this. And a lot of us as creatives, we love to create. We have ideas, we have scripts, we have so much that we want to offer, but we can't. And I think this is an opportunity where we see sort of like the wasteland, and but I always say where there's chaos, there's opportunity. And so I think a lot of people are saying, well, if we're moving towards this creator economy, and that's what Goldman Sachs is predicting, they're predicting it to go by up by $500 billion over the next 2 years.
In 2 years?
That's 2 years, by 2027.
Wow. Okay.
So a lot of us are saying, like, well, why don't we make our own shows? And I think more people are feeling empowered to do that. Because it's like, well, you know, if I'm ever going to have an opportunity, this is the opportunity to make something. And I think, honestly, in order to survive whatever the slowdown is, whatever this transition is, the people that are going to be the most successful are going to be the people who are most proactive.
And I have you here. And that's why I have you here.
And I'm on this couch.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and a couple things you said to that, you know, about, you know, superhero movies and whatever. And it's what I'm realizing, even on TikTok, it's like it's about the everyday superhero, right? Like, that's what people want, including people in the industry, right? Like, there's some, your credits are pretty solid. Those are big shows. Those are big credits. So imagine if, you know, yes, I would tap into a show that producer Patrick did on TikTok.
I hope so.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, because I'm like, yeah, I want to, yes, I'm going to support you. And I feel like even that's happening just from a consumerism standpoint, right? Like, consumers are saying, I love what Patrick's doing on TikTok. Yeah, I'd watch his show.
And you know what? That's actually a model that's already in place. And you know who does it really well is our comedians. Comedians are able to leverage social media to where you get a little clip of their, you know, of their stand-up and you go, wow, that was a really funny joke. But then I want to see more of this comedian. I forget what his name, Matt. What's his name? Really handsome guy.
I forgot his name, but I know. But you know, exactly
he's got like
about.
He's got like the chiseled jaw.
Yeah, and
like,
yeah, you know, that guy.
But that guy. But like he's a that guy. And I'm gonna think of the name when I'm driving down Sunset.
Right.
But that's a perfect example of, you know, using social media to drive people to a website or a spot or YouTube where that creator has ownership of their product and not giving the ownership over to a streamer or to a production company, because that's how it worked in the past. You know, you optioned your material, you gave it over, and then you're just giving it over and again, cutting up your piece of the pie until you get like one little, you know, piece of pizza left.
Right.
As opposed to everybody saying like, gosh, I did the creative, I did the writing, I did the narrative, I did all of this. But why are everybody taking their slices of my pizza?
Right, exactly. And even just back to that other point that you said, I was a dancer. I was a choreographer. I came up in a time where music videos had these million-dollar budgets. You know, I had worked on huge Missy Elliott music videos where we were properly...
I love Missy.
Who doesn't love Missy? I live for Missy. You know, and we did the She's a Bitch music video, and that was a huge budget. And if you go back and look at, like, the behind the scenes, we shot it at Universal. We were on a stage. We were underwater. They had, like, you know, the underwater guys that made sure we were safe. Like, you know, we had a proper... huge Hollywood crew,
right?
And then streaming, and then new media. The, you know, they started using in our contracts new media, and they didn't know. And they, you know, they were putting that language in our contracts, which was like, in perpetuity forever in all the galaxies. We right. own your likeness. And yes. here's $500 for that.
Right.
You know, so, and we were like, okay, well, fine. But to this day, like, that music video is all over the world, which is great, right? Right. But it's like just all the labels. So new media. And then we started seeing that shift where now, you know, they don't, producers are saying some, not all, but it's like, you know, they want to pull choreography from shows because mm-hmm. that's a big part of the budget.
Right.
Right. So now you have a whole department.
Yes.
That's like being affected, let alone just the whole production, right? Where like.
And it's just all the departments, right? Over. It right, doesn't, right. if it's costuming, makeup.
Right.
Everybody is seeing these massive downsizes. And I've even heard somebody like recently saying, like, man, movies or TV shows, their set designs look like shit. And they do look like shit because it's like one PA hanging balloons in the background and some string lights. And that's like right. all the budget like, is anymore.
That's what it was. We exactly. went to Dollar Tree and we that, exactly. and it exactly. looks like that. Yeah. So I kind of feel like, you know, with, you know, you talked about like layoffs, you know, and you know, there's no raises. People, you talked about that CNN. You just did a video about mm-hmm. CNN and mm-hmm. CNN kind of letting a ton of people go.
Yeah.
And that Chris Wallace is saying, you know, he might switch to his own.
He already said he's out. He's going to go do podcasts. And people are like, he's going to go do podcasts? And don't underestimate podcasts, but right. they are the new talk shows.
Right, right. And I was again, you know, one of the other guests that I had from, you know, I did the Howard Stern show and I was like, actually, he was the template
yeah.
for what we're doing right here, right now. You know, he was the one that kind of set that template. Everybody was just, you know, doing something else. We're doing reality, we're doing film, mm-hmm. we're doing commercials. But he kind of like set that template. And I feel like I've always been the type of person, like I'm telling all my writer friends, my director friends, my other dancer friends, like, go shoot your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, go shoot it. Go put it in a film festival. Go whatever.
And it's so funny how you mentioned about labels, because in Unscripted, we're labeled alternative television. We've been labeled that for 20 years, alternative. And
what do they mean by that?
Because we're just not regular television. We're game shows. We're unscripted. But they also label
and
us.
And not variety.
Right.
And you're not considered variety.
Exactly. So, but having this alternative label, it really has always kind of created a stigma too. Mm. But even though it's like, well, most of the TV shows that you see or most of the internet shows that you see is all, quote, alternative, right?
Yeah.
But that's now the mainstream.
And is it a union thing? Is it because they're alternative because you're not using as many union talent?
It was a name that started, I think, in the early 2000s mm-hmm. when Unscripted started. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really know what to call Unscripted. You know, they called it reality TV. But then right. all of a sudden they were just like, I guess we could put everything that's not traditionally scripted television under this alternative label. So it's like extra. It's kind of like scripted television shows and what have you.
And that thing over
and
there.
Other.
And then, you know, so is part of kind of like where you see kind of everything go. And I've asked this question to a couple of people, like, and it's, you know, do we know? Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe, right? Because of new tech, but do we really, right? And do we just all as a community just push forward and just keep creating wherever we can? Because the other thing too is finance, right?
Right.
Like, well, we need to finance if because we're all professionals,
right?
We all want it to look a certain way, right?
Right.
Like, we don't want it to look like we just stuck a balloon on a wall,
right?
Right. So what would you say kind of is, do we all just come together as a community and like figure out how to raise money?
I mean, you just kind of look at, okay, well, how did TV start? And you right. look, let's go back to the basics. Okay, how did soap opera start? They right. started by selling soap, right? It was a product. So a lot of people are saying, well, the funding answer is right in front of us. It's right in front of our noses. Mm-hmm. It's branding. It's all these companies that were originally advertisers mm-hmm. that had their commercials that got booted because of streaming. They still want to sell their product.
Right.
Tide still wants to sell detergent, you
right,
know,
right.
You know, Kraft still wants to sell cheese.
Right.
They still have stuff that they right. want to get out in the public. But it's interesting because the new generations are kind of rejecting commercials, right?
Yes.
Like, you get a bunch of kids on YouTube, they can't hit that skip button fast enough, right?
Right.
But we're seeing the new generation is drifting towards more authentic, more genuine. So, you know, where the brand wants to be part of the storytelling now. So it's integration. Mm-hmm. And if creatives can create crack that nut of integration with branding, brands want, are, they're in, they're ready to spend money. And I think really it's the creatives, because they're the ones that know how to put these shows together. It's not the people that at the corporations that are tech people or have their MBAs. They're not storytellers. We're the storytellers. So if there's a way that the brands and the creatives can come together, and I do think, to your point, it is going to be a community that's going to have to share resources in order for it to work. I don't think it's going to be like one independent production company out on its own. Like, we're going to have to circle the wagons if we're really going to try to make this work.
And it's interesting that you say that, because it's always been in our face. We just, like, I think some people maybe just didn't really realize it. Us in the industry, we talk product placement, right? Like, I don't know how many movies I've seen where I see Coca-Cola.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like,
I mean,
you
Fast know, and the Furious, it's right, Dodge, right, you know, it's right. Like, Bob's right. You don't notice it. Although it's funny, because you're starting to learn a little bit more of it. Like, I didn't know Apple products are never seen with a bad guy in a movie. Did you know that?
No.
So like whoever's opening the laptop with the Apple label, it's always going to be the good guy. It's always going to be it's never going to be the antagonist.
And that's just like, is that a deal that they make?
That's Apple's policy. So it's interesting how those products are already in there, and how these companies still, you know, manage to get the product that they want. Another person was using an example of Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie. He drives his old beat up Fiat, but it was a way for Fiat to introduce its new Fiat, because at one point, like, the old Fiat pulls up to a new one. He's like, I wish I had that one, you know. But that's, again, it's a simple thing.
And it's funny, because I have a Fiat with 140,000 miles and I refuse to give it up.
Really?
And I'm like holding on to it for dear life. It's LA. It's like the best car for parking.
But
but like, see, when I see it, I'm like, oh, there's a Fiat. I love it. Okay. Yeah. But it's, and it made that, I remember when Fiat was doing that push, because they had like the J-Lo stuff too. Mm-hmm. And they were like, did a whole thing. I think Spike Lee has done like some Fiat stuff too.
Right. There's a lot of people in my generation, and I'm a geriatric millennial, you know, so, or zennial or somewhere.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This like weird world between 1978 and 1982 that we're not Gen X, we're not really millennial, but we're just kind of analog and digital. Didn't have a cell phone until I went to college.
The last
generation to just go in the woods and beat something with a stick, you know, for entertainment, right? But I started saying, why is everybody my age talking about what Gen Z wants and what Gen Alpha wants? Why don't we just ask them?
Right.
Because it, for some reason, there's this stigma of, I think I know better than the next generation, or like they don't know enough. But you know what? The thing is, you have to like listen to the younger generation, and they are much smarter than you give them credit for. In fact, my son's Gen Alpha, and he's doing things in second grade that I wasn't doing until middle school. And I'm just like, oh my
gosh. And they're smart. And Gen Z is teaching Gen Alpha, right? Like, they're the ones like, hey, do this. And the only reason I bring up Gen Z too, like, I was quoted in an article in the Food Institute about, you know, they're the ones pushing the tech stuff for like McDonald's and Starbucks.
Right.
They have great digital marketing. So Gen Z really responds to that.
Right.
But they still want it to be authentic. So that's what's great about it, because they're saying, no, stop pushing this stuff on us.
Right.
We want the authenticity, which is great, because up until now that nobody's really cared.
And right? I went down to Chapman and I asked this one student who articulated it brilliantly, because I was curious. I was like, you know, you're a generation that has grown up with media since the minute you're walking. You've right. been exposed to media. You've been exposed to social media. You know, I didn't have that. Again, I was in the woods beating dead animals.
Drinking out of a water
hose. Right, drinking out of a water. We weren't even allowed inside. My mom's like, you stay outside. We were
right,
just, you
until
know,
the streetlights
like,
come
like,
on. Right.
Like, yeah, right. exactly. Right. Like,
I get rodents it. I get it. I'm right there with you.
So, yeah. So he said, well, you got to remember that the media that we're exposed to is always going to be somebody's best version of themselves, especially like on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You're getting people's best vacations. You're getting people's right. best photos, you know, even face-tuned.
Right.
You're getting a artificial look at their lives. So he goes, compare that to fast food, okay? So imagine like every time you see one of these, it's the same as eating a McDonald's cheeseburger, right? What's going to happen after you eat McDonald's over and over and over again? Your body is going to get sick of it and you're going to start craving something that's organic, something that's nutritious, something that feels real. And I thought that was the most brilliant That's and brilliant. Eloquent way of explaining how Gen Z looks at media. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is an absolute move towards something that's more genuine, something that's more authentic, something that feels real. Mm-hmm. But of course, the dance that companies have to play is how do you kind of integrate into that? Exactly. Because the minute that they sense or, you know, smell that something's off, they're going to pull away.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really kind of interesting how that generation approaches material. Mm-hmm. And the material that we as creators are looking to provide them. They want storytelling. They love storytelling. In fact, actually, I also talking to the same bunch, mm-hmm. I talked about the film industry and mm-hmm. I said, you know, would you go to movies because your generation's not going to the movies anymore? They said, hells yeah, we would go to the movies if it didn't cost $25 a ticket. And they have a point. They're college kids.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was lucky to scrap $9 every week for a pitcher of beer.
Right.
You know,
right.
So right. yeah, of course, $25 for one ticket. And that's before concessions.
Right.
You know, a date to the movies is $100 easily. Nobody's got that money.
No.
But when I went to the movies in like the late 90s, it was $3.50 on a Friday night. And you've got 10 options.
And if you went to a matinee, it was even cheaper.
Yeah. Or, you know, what we did is we went to one movie at like 7 o'clock and then we snuck into another movie theater.
Right, right. But there's too much security now. Too many cameras.
Exactly. There's too
right.
many cameras. There was no. Ring or
right. No.
Or,
yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. So you know, you start looking at the economic model, especially that's not working now because now you have these studios that are taking these big swings. You know, they only make one movie and they make a $200 million movie, and then it's Joker 2, and then they fall on their face.
And I saw a quote that you said, it may have been another podcast or something where you said, instead of making one $200 million film, make 10 $2 million film or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, or yeah, you can make 10 $20 million films.
Yeah.
And the films of the 80s and 90s, the ones that we love, the comedies, not even like the action one or the dramas, they were in the $10 to $15 million range. I don't know why those movies stopped getting made.
Right.
And if you think of just like the economics of it, say half those movies are bombs. Well, the other half, they start making more money than a $200 million movie would make.
Right.
And if you have 5 or 10 of them going,
right.
you know, you'll make your money back as a studio. But why is all of a sudden this kind of like putting all our eggs in one basket and hoping that it'll somehow do well? And I think a lot of these companies that are tech companies, you know, they have data and algorithms and they think that they can predict a hit, and the audience is so much more fickle than that. And a perfect example I like to say is like, because I work in unscripted and I work in reality, and I was like, let's take all the reality shows from 2000 till 2020. Okay, let's just put them all out there.
20 year span. That's a big span.
Let's say 20 year span, okay? And let's make a card for each television show that was ever created in reality, right?
Yeah.
Pick the winners. And it's like, is it going to be the rednecks in Louisiana making duck calls? Is it going to be is it going to be the Guidos on the Jersey Shore,
right,
you know?
Right.
You could not predict it in 1,000 years. which two. It's the same as like trying to make a perfect bracket in college basketball. You're never going to do it.
Right.
And if you do, kudos to you. But again, what the algorithm is telling a lot of these companies is just do the same thing that worked before.
Over and over.
And the thing is, the audience is a lot more smarter than that. The audience wants to be taken on a journey. They want to see something new. They don't want the same meal served over and over again. You're going to get sick of it. And that is why a lot of them are saying, well, it's more interesting. There's new stuff. There's new people on social media. Why am I being forced to go pay exorbitant prices at a movie theater? Or I have to subscribe to streaming, which is television. But, you know, if you really think about it, television has always been free. Television was always, you know, television was just kind of a way to show commercials with some fodder in between. And that fodder just maybe might be a hit TV show.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So where we're seeing this changing is like if the idea is that everybody's going to this more independent industry, then why can't the creatives go too?
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, too, because it's because they're driving a Lamborghini or they're wearing, you know, $1 million pearls. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, like, I even
it's
heard
like I don't they're not even buying into that. They're like, I don't even care.
Well, there's a lot of fakeness to it. I even know there's like I think there's a set somewhere here in Hollywood that's a fake private plane set that people rent to take selfies in so they could seem like they're in a private plane. And you know what the thing is, like, even the pranks are fake. You know, it's because you have these people who are not actors, you know, and you go, gosh, that's even worse than like a bad B movie.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I just because part of the reason why I even started this, being in a race of your own, which is that's what this is. It's like, you can just be in a race of your own. You were just in a race of your own. Patrick, you're a producer, you've done stuff, and then you just started talking. That's your race. You saw it, right? We've been up, we've been down, we plateau sometimes. Sometimes there's tumbleweeds, right? But we always have to find that moment where we're like, okay, well, this is just my race. I can only focus on my race, right? Where do I go from here? Well, if I'm just authentic, if I'm just myself, if I just speak my opinion, if I just, you know, it's almost like, you know, you start... for me, social media, pop culture, et cetera, you know, it's like studying trends, right?
Yes.
You study the trends. Just like you said, how could a studio really pick out what reality show was going to be a hit? They couldn't. But you might already know because of what you do and your experience, hey, why don't we pull Patrick in, right? Why don't we pull him in and ask him his opinion? Because this is what you do.
This is, you know, in the 20 years of being a storyteller, you know what I realized? It doesn't matter what the subject is. It, as long as you know how to tell the story, you can make anything interesting. And I truly believe that. Like, people, like, you know, there are stuff that is just naturally more interesting. You know, somebody who jumps out of a plane for a living is going to be somebody you want to talk to. But, you know, if you really know and, you know, go to a, you know, go to a restaurant and find the dishwasher, but listen to their story. You know, maybe they came here on a treacherous journey to get into the United States. And, you know, there's still like ways that you can draw an audience in, because it really depends on what is relatable to your audience. And that's what we're looking. And I think I mentioned before that even though it's television or you call it reality TV or film, it is a reflection on our society. You know, art imitates life. And you see, and it
in
may not
so
be
in so many ways.
In so many ways, so many and it ways. May not be like a nail on the head. You may not see it. It may be subliminal, but through music, through
music videos,
pictures and pictures, sound, we are able to kind of showcase our times. And I think that is really a value to us, and we as creatives see that. I don't know if people above see that. You know, and where this kind of replacement of art to profit happened is where we started becoming problematic.
And it's interesting that you say that too, because I, you know, and I think the viewers would agree, at least I would hope so, but you know, it's the manipulation of the media, right? It's the manipulation of, you might think you're watching something and a story about something, but it's really saying something else. And, you know, and I even think just audiences across the board, any generation, are like, we're just tired.
We just
don't like give me something real.
Give me something feels forced on you, everybody can pick it up now, you know?
Yeah, and consumers are just like retaliating. Right. They're just like, we don't want it. Like, we don't, like, it's so in our faces now. They're like, even, you know, award shows, as much as I love to watch them, as much as I love the fashion and the glitz and the glamour, it's, people are just like,
It's because there's so much saturation now, you know? And so in order to break through the noise, people think you have to be louder, more aggressive. And I think a lot of people are just like, I've had enough of the noise. I mean, that's why you see even younger generations are like, I'm giving up my iPhone. I'm going to, you know, just a regular, you know, Motorola Razr. I was in Greenland and we ended up going to this very remote place that's 70 miles away from civilization. Right. We were doing a mining show. So you had to go to where the resources.
You had to go to the mines.
Right. To the mines. Right. And with miners, not O-R-E-R, you know.
That part.
So, you know, we're staying in tents. And I remember the first 24 hours being like, oh my God, I can't check my, you know, my
phone,
my phone. And I don't know what's on my Facebook. And I remember just getting tweaky about it. Uh-huh. And about 48 hours, finally, like, you know, I get through the shakes or whatever you want to call it. And I finally reconnected with peace. And I reconnected with nature, and I'm there's a glacier, and we're in a fjord, and it's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, I didn't care anymore. And I remember just for like, and we were doing this for like 8 weeks, and I think it was the most like, you know, if we ever have a chance, it's impossible to do, mm-hmm. especially when we're connected with anything. But if you have a chance to disconnect, mm-hmm. it really changes your perspective. But then I come back into the real world and Wi-Fi shoots up. And then it's like hundreds being like, why aren't you online? Why didn't you come online? Why don't you come on? Here's the link. And it's like, wow, they freak out when you don't show up.
And it's interesting. I've talked about that before, too. It's like being in the present.
Yes.
Being in the present. Being, I don't know. I can pretty much on my phone, I say it all the time. I'm like, okay, yeah, I wake up, I can go check my phone and I can order food. Yes. I can watch a movie. Right. I can, you know, I can freaking do my budget if I want. Like, you know, there's like, you can do everything. You do your receipts. Like,
right.
You know, it's just about being distracted, right? And I'm kind of going somewhere with this because I just spoke to another screenwriter friend of mine that is doing an animated project with DMC from Run DMC, mm-hmm. You know, and it's about hip hop and like kind of positive and like right. this like positive storytelling. And it's about, for me, what I'm realizing, it's like we're so tapping back into ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And just as creatives, right?
Yes.
Because we are at the forefront. People could look at us and be like, well, what narrative are you pushing? Right.
Right.
They could look at us that way too. Right. Right? Well, you're pushing this narrative, but it's like, it almost sounds like, and I called him and I said this to him, I was like, you're a mindful screenwriter. Mm-hmm. Like we're actually taking into consideration what is really the story that we, because now if we're going to control the stories, now we're mm-hmm. controlling those narratives. And if people are tapping into what we're saying,
right,
then they're going, well, I know the narrative that Patrick's
going to give. Well, people believe their own narratives these days. And that's a big problem. It's like everybody's got an opinion and a voice.
Right. Well, that,
and then and then it becomes, you know, what is the objective truth? And, you know, I've always kind of said in this age of journalism, and I went to a journalism school mm-hmm. and I started off in news.
Nice.
My career started off at CBS News.
Nice.
And, you know, what is, because now we have these editorials where we blended opinion with editorial. Mm-hmm. And originally they used to be separate. We used to know what was opinion, what was editorial.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, well, I know the reason, they kind of deregulated everything. You know, the idea.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Of journalists, and I know journalists are freaking out because they're seeing their industry also getting cut. It's all, we're all part of the same media. It's all the same umbrella, right? So our money is the same money that they're getting their money.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, if somebody is going to be a journalist or going to at least present themselves as a journalist,
right,
they should be labeled as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are labeled as a journalist, then you are up to defamation and slander just like any other journalist.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, money talks when it mm-hmm. comes to journalism. Just ask Fox News and Dominion, you know.
Right.
So, but that's how you hold, you know, the truth accountable is mm-hmm. is you have to say, hey, are you willing to get sued for millions of dollars if you're wrong?
Right. And again, but I think also it's like the fact that even consumers are saying it.
Yeah.
Like if they see something on CNN or Fox or wherever, they're the ones saying, give us, you know, I'd rather turn and listen to Patrick.
Yeah.
Because I know what he's going to tell me. He's going to see all of it and he's going to give me his perspective. Sure, it could just be his opinion.
Right.
But like your you know, point of view is a little more grounded in reality and in truth.
Well, I mean, also, like, I got to go to what my network is. My network is a bunch of other executive producers that are out of work or, you know. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, and that's how kind of all this started, was picking up the pieces, because you're not hearing anything from the companies that would be the production companies mm-hmm. that would hire you, or the corporations or the studios. So you really kind of go with your own network.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're starting to get little nuggets of information from, oh, well, but, you know, I think what really kind of clued me into the entire shutdown of the industry was knowing that the people that I always knew to be working, the people that I always knew that always had a show coming down the road, that they were out of work. And yeah. then even the more impressive people I knew were doing things that I would never think that they would ever do, like mm-hmm. doing DoorDash runs or, yeah. you know, driving yeah. for Uber.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew something was up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a serious, serious situation.
Yeah.
And it's no longer everybody trying to play it cool, like, oh, yeah, I got a few stokes in the fire, which we all tell everybody, you
right.
know, bullshitting each other.
We're all like,
But one thing about reality producers, like, don't bullshit a bullshitter, you know,
right.
we could see through it, you know, right. we could see through
right,
each
right,
other,
right.
and so it's like,
yeah, come on.
Well, what are you working on? Well, what is it? What is it?
You know? This thing is coming down.
Okay, I'll be honest with you, okay? But this is just between you and me,
right.
you know?
Right,
because nobody in our industry ever wants to talk about their hardships,
mm-hmm.
because that's how we are geared and we are kind of set up for this industry is, you know, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Right.
Because if you all of a sudden start admitting that you're not being hired, people look at you like you're radioactive.
Right.
Ooh, what's wrong with him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something's wrong with him.
Nobody wants
know?
To work
and
with him.
And same with actors. Yeah. You know, yeah. actors, I think, have it really bad because mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're hot and then you're not.
Yeah.
And you can't tell what is the reason that somebody is. I look at Brandon Fraser and it's like, what did he do? You know, for that
right.
somebody said no to him for 20 years.
Right. Right.
Right?
It's almost like this blackballing thing. And it's this silent battle sometimes. That
right.
And it
comes from somebody who has probably a grudge.
Yep.
And then it's like, well, he didn't hire him. So and then the problem is, especially us who work in production, is we mm-hmm. internalize that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big problem that I saw earlier this year. Is because we work in production, because we love what we do,
mm-hmm.
Because we've struggled so hard to break it into this industry,
mm-hmm.
That people were taking it so personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do believe you become part of your job, especially if you're spending 18 hours on set. You
yes.
know, you're like, I am a producer.
Yes.
And if I'm a producer, who am I? If I'm not a producer, who am I?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that led to colleagues of mine that ended up committing suicide. Of course, I can't give the reason to exactly why,
yeah.
but, you know, I did get emails from these people months before they did
yeah.
take their lives, saying, being very desperate of saying, I need to find work.
Mm.
And I could only make that assessment from there. But you do know, because you feel it yourself. You're right. Like, if I'm out of work, you know, and I can't get work as this position, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really was my motive to start really trying to explain the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So people knew that it wasn't them, and at least they would have the information, whatever they needed to do for the next stage of their life,
mm-hmm.
Whether that is move out of LA or mm-hmm. change industries altogether or start something new. Maybe, somebody wanted to always start a restaurant or a coffee shop.
Right.
Maybe they are ready to move on. Mm-hmm. But what's happening in the industry isn't them. It is a transitional change. It is an evolution. But if you have the knowledge of what's going on, you could at least enrich your life a little bit better for what you want to do next.
Yes.
Instead of just kind of waiting, hoping to hear something that is going to happen that doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think that would be more devastating to people than actually knowing the truth.
And that's great. And I'm, you know, sorry to hear that, you know, my condolences, but also that kind of boils down to me, which a lot of what I talk about here is purpose,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you found a purpose in that. You took that activated action in saying, well, you know, I feel like I want to talk about this because this is like real for a lot, like really real. This isn't like the glitz, the glamour, this is this other side of real people, like the working class, so to speak, in the industry that's been in it for years, that it becomes their identity, right? Yeah, yes, I'm an executive producer. Yes, I'm a producer. Yes, whatever it is. And for me, I was a dancer for a long time. And then I started seeing those budgets cut back. I started seeing, you know, and I was like, well, what do I do next? Oh, God, I freak out. You know,
right.
And you get in those moments where you're like, who am I? I don't even know. Well, if I'm not this, then what?
Right.
You start to panic and you feel like doors are closing on you and you feel like maybe it's a personal thing, you know,
right.
And it's, you know, hard to hear that because, you know, that's happened to me too with dancers that come off of a big tour and, you know, come back home to just an empty apartment, you know, and take their life because they're like, well, what do I do now? Right. So seeking that outside validation of saying, you know, this is who I am.
Yes.
Right. But it's not.
But
it's not. It's those quiet moments.
But we're people. And, you know, I had a very profound experience about 7 years ago. And I think that was my wake up call before all of this happened. But it also taught me how to endure these times. 7 years ago, I was on a project and I had my nose to the grindstone. And, you know, being a producer and wanting to enhance my career. And I got the news that my mom had stage 4 lymphoma. Sweet. And I put it in the back of my head and I buried myself in my work. Mm-hmm. And which was the absolute wrong thing to do, but, you know, I created a denial for myself, but, you know, I can't go home because otherwise what's going to happen to my career if I, you know, and of course my mom was a very loving, wonderful person. And she was like, no, I understand. And, eventually what happened was, you know, I finally got the call, you need to come home. And I got back to the hospital about 3 days before she died. And all my siblings were able to have that peaceful moment where everything needed to be said. But my mom was too sick by the time I got there. And I didn't get that. And I lost my mom. Within the same year, my dad had an accident and I lost my dad too. And at the age of 35, that's a very young age to lose both your parents. And all of a sudden, my entire perspective shifted. Because it didn't matter about the show or the production or anything. The most important thing to me, I didn't realize was right in front of me the whole time. And when you start looking at like, well, which, you know, which would you rather have, a career or losing your parents? You go, Jesus, gosh, I'd do anything for a day with my mom again. And so when fast forward 7 years and we're starting to go through this process of, you know, I can't find work. I'm starting to take it in. I'm going through a depression. But then it dawned on me, I'm grieving because I had gone through this process before. I realized that I'm going through depression. I realize I'm going through anger. I'm grieving an industry that I lost because it was so close to me. But then I also started kind of thinking back 7 years. I'm like, but I'm bigger and more important than my job. You know, I have my wife and I have my kids and I have, you know, food on the table and a roof over my head. The most important things in my life, I should be the most grateful for because I have my health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get up after this podcast and walk to my car.
Yeah.
And sometimes it really puts your perspective in place of like, wow, geez, you know, we're only on this planet for a finite time, you know? So if you're here for such a finite time, then let's make the best of it, right? Mm-hmm. So let's turn those lemons in the lemonade, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this period of transition that we're going through right now, there are two, you know, ways that you can go. You can either ignore it and be in denial about it, hope the industry comes back. Or you could say, hey, you know what? If I love what I do and I'm healthy and I have the ability to do it, you know, why don't I take those swings and chances? Because this is the point where risk is going to equal reward. The greatest part about this disruption is that it is a chance for people on the outside to break in and create more noise and create a disruption to the system. And I think a lot of people are expecting, like, the way that streaming is going, like, well, streaming's going to be around. I don't know if it's going to be around in 5, 10 years.
Right.
We don't know if the system that's being set up. But if we're going to change it, especially as creatives, then now's the time. Now's the time to get in there. And, you know, if you want to make that television show, or you want to, you know, make that movie of that screenplay that's been in the bottom of your desk, you know, now's the time to do it. Because right. What else are you going to? Because all the production people are available right now.
So. Right. Exactly. And that's it. And I love that you're saying that. There's so much in there. And again, I just hear purpose, and I hear really the through line of the show, which is being in a race of your own, mm-hmm. you know, finding that moment where you were just like, I'm in this own race by myself.
Yes.
Like, and I have to pull myself out of it. That is literally right. a true testament
but
to like what
I truly
talk about.
In a marathon, and everybody's running with you right now. And like, all of a sudden you're just kind of like, you didn't realize you're running on yourself. You're like, oh, Jerry, what are you? Oh, Michelle. Hey. And all of a sudden you look behind you and it's like, you know, that scene that you always see of New York City, you know, right. and there's just thousands of people running down the street, and you go, yes. okay, well, we're all running together. We're
yes.
a herd. Right?
Yes.
So let's all move in the same direction.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And through that, I think, is where the change comes, right? Like when the fish, you see a group of fish go
right.
one way and they go, swoop, and they
or
go
they
the
say
other way.
Like yeah, in yeah. Jurassic Park. Like, look how they move, just like a flock of birds, you know? Like, they do move in herds.
Yeah,
producers.
Yeah.
Producers.
Yeah. And again, I go back to this, and I know a lot of my viewers, there's a lot of dancers and people in the industry that I tap into, and I grew up in the hip-hop industry, and just the fact that what's happening in hip-hop is so disheartening. Just
yes.
what was going on for the past, you know, whatever years. And it's now I'm like, oh, well, but there's also like all these people that I used to work with that are coming back out, that are doing their own things again. They're putting mm-hmm. it back. It's like having that courage again to just be like finding the inner courage.
Yes.
Right. I think we're so used to being like, I'm going to get that call from my agent or my manager
yes.
or my other production.
I'm waiting
partners.
For someone else to do it. I'm waiting for someone else to do the work.
It's like, give me permission.
Right.
Versus just giving yourself permission.
And you know what I kind of compare this to this time, even though I've had a 20-year career, I kind of think back to when I was a PA, right? Mm-hmm. I'm broke. I don't have 2 pennies to rub together, but I'm excited.
Yes.
Because I'm entering something new. I don't know if I am going to be kicked to the curb, but holy crap, this is yeah. something new.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that feeling in a long time. And yeah, there's still the worries of like, oh my gosh, am I going to, you know, pay my mortgage, or, you know, my credit card bills are really
stacking
creeping up there.
Yeah.
But you know what? Something is encouraging for the first time in a long time. And, you know, whether I sink or swim, at least you know that I stepped to the plate and I took a swing. And I think that's the best you can do. And I think, you know, that fear of failure is always something that's going to hang over our head. But, you know, you got to look at also the people that are taking the comfort route, you know, the stay safe. And there's accountants in the production industry. They're like, well, I stuck to accounting, and they're now out of a job.
Right.
You know, and the people that are working at the staff positions, you know, that were VPs, all of a sudden they're out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that was a safe bet is no longer safe.
Right.
So you have to look at the skill set you have, and you say, okay, well, what can I bring to the table? Mm-hmm. If I know how to shoot, I know how to edit, I know how to make content, I know how to tell a story, what the hell am I doing? What am I winning anybody else for?
Right. It's that risk taking, which
exactly.
which has been something I've talked about before too, which is just always like, I'm not letting
right.
anyone else dictate anything.
And exactly. And the streamers above, they're all risk averse. They're not taking any big swings. They're taking sure bets.
Right.
You know, as long as it's got intellectual property or a celebrity attached to it, you know, that's going to be their angle. But you know what? You know who's the ability to take really big risks?
Mm.
That's an open door.
Right.
And it's where those really big risks happen that you get some of the greatest cinema and television shows of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Patrick. Your feedback has just been like, I love it. What else do we have? Where else can we see you? Where can we find you? What do you have coming next? How many shows? How many movies? What's going on, Patrick?
So, gosh, isn't that the question? I'd like to know, too. If you know what those are, please tell me. You can find me as Producer Patrick on mm-hmm. Instagram or TikTok. Mm-hmm. What I have coming next is I'm fortunately, through my social media and through being this voice, is I'm coming in contact with a lot of people that feel the same way and mm-hmm. are energized the same way that I am. Mm-hmm. It really is connecting, and there's so many people in our industry that are like, yeah, I want to know what's coming next too. I don't want to stick my head in the sand and wait for what's happening. So I've teamed up with a platform that's going to be coming out soon. It may come out by the time this podcast is
okay.
out. But what it does is we're looking to transform this industry. Mm-hmm. But in a way that benefits creatives. You know, I'm not a guy that's going to be like, hey, here's a product and I'm trying to sell it. I'm not that guy. I want to know what helps my industry, what helps mm-hmm. my fellow crew members. And what this platform does is it takes a show. You could put a show, you could put a movie, you could put a TV show, whatever your passion project is, right? And it doesn't have to be a passion project. If you are a professional, you could put your stuff up there. And it'll delegate the equity of the program to the entire crew.
Wow.
So if you're the gaffer, if you're the PA, you get a piece of that back end instead of just the executive producers at the top taking it off, right?
Wow.
And that is a way to incentivize production staff not only to just make a better product, but at the same time, it's like they're reaping the rewards of their work. Mm-hmm. Not somebody who is like, I approved the project, I sent two emails, and now I get a check for 30%.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's actually the people that deserve the work. And like I said about branding, you know, the other thing we're looking to do is to have this as a platform where brands can come on and see where they want to partner.
That's
too.
Brilliant.
So
that's brilliant.
That's the platform I'm working on now. It's going to be called Share, in case
Share,
it's out.
Share, yes.
And it's made by filmmakers for filmmakers.
Nice.
And so that's what I'm working on. And in the meantime, for other things, it's, you know, trying to find those independent productions.
Mm-hmm.
Producers that are like myself that are like, okay, you know, if we don't have to go and wait for this to get greenlit by somebody above us, let's see if we can raise the funds and let's see if we could do this production on our own. And those are the people that I've been teaming up with, and looks like we got some stuff brewing.
Nice.
Yes. And like, I'm not just saying that like we no, said that like last
all the
year,
time.
But, you like, know, like, oh, you know, I got some stokes in the fire, but I got some stokes in the fire.
That's amazing. Patrick, thank you so much for making the time for
thank
this.
Thank you, V. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I just appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for like sharing like just your knowledge, just your knowledge, your presence, your essence. Thank you so much. Your energy. Thank you so much. And this is Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own. Please leave us comments, ask questions. We'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. Follow the page, subscribe to the page, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.